We have here the words of the Apostle Paul under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul writing to the believers in Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The theme of my lesson tonight is the necessity of giving financially to missionaries. With several of our supported missionaries visiting over the last several weeks, one scheduled to report this month, and the new year upon us, I thought it would be beneficial to give a pastoral challenge to the congregation regarding our financial commitment to worldwide missions. As you walk into the sanctuary, it is almost impossible to enter or to leave the sanctuary without your eyes consciously or unconsciously seeing the letters that we receive from our missionaries. If you use one of our giving envelopes that are in front of you, you will find that you are constantly reminded of the church's responsibility toward giving to missions. If you attend Sunday services, you know that the pastor does not allow a month to go by without making some comments regarding those that we personally support who are preaching the gospel in the regions beyond us. And all these things are done purposely. These are not accidents in our church. These things are purposeful to remind us of the Great Commission, which is the heartbeat of the local church. The Great Commission, the sending forth of missionaries so that they might preach the gospel in the regions beyond us, is truly the heartbeat of the local church. And so with that said, I want to serve you the Word of God tonight, and I want to serve you as a spiritual physician and encourage you in keeping our heart healthy. That is the heart of our church, the giving to worldwide missions. It is my calling and desire as a pastor to encourage and equip you with God's holy word so that you might do what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, so that you might do the work of the ministry. You see, the work of the ministry is not only on the shoulders of the pastor or the pastors of the local church. The work of the Lord is spread out to all the members of the church and to all believers. And so the pastor's job is to preach the word of God and to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so that is my goal tonight as we talk about the necessity of giving financially to missions. So with that said, let me give you five reasons why you should give financially to God's work throughout the world, and specifically to missionaries who are faithfully preaching the gospel, faithfully establishing churches, and faithfully equipping new believers to do the work of the ministry. And while it is normally our practice to go verse by verse in an expositional manner through the scriptures, tonight will be more practical in nature, as I hope to spur you in this new year, 2019, to remember our duty to support worldwide missions. So we begin with the first exhortation, the first reason why you should be faithful in giving to missions. You ought to give to missions because God has ordained his people to give to missionaries. We begin with a question. The question is a question that we all know the answer to, but a question that we must ask ourselves. Could God allow money to fall from heaven if he wanted to? Could God have chosen a different means of supporting the work of the Lord than Christians within a church giving through the church to missionaries who are beyond us? And we know the answer is yes. God is almighty. He is the omnipotent one. God who allowed manna to fall from heaven to feed the Israelites. A God in Christ who allowed the bread to be broken and the fish to be multiplied to the thousands is the God who can provide in 1,000 different ways. But God has ordained believers to be the primary source of those who give to missionaries. And in his infinite wisdom, God has ordained us to be the gasoline to the missionary endeavor. Now look at Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 3, if you will. Luke chapter 8, we have here the record of Jesus' ministry, and we obtain some important truths regarding giving to the work of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going about doing good. He is performing miracles. He is demonstrating that he is no ordinary prophet. He is demonstrating that he is the Son of God with power. He is demonstrating that he is the only wise potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And more importantly, he's demonstrating that he is the Savior and that he is the promised Messiah. But this is interesting. In his humanity, in his ministry, the Lord Jesus was supported financially. Now, Luke chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. All right, we know that. That's an established truth. Jesus, his main ministry was the preaching of the gospel, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And it's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus is a preacher. And as he preaches, hearts are changing by the message of the gospel. But have you ever considered how Jesus made it financially? Did you ever consider, as Jesus is traveling, where he received food and shelter? Well, look at the text, verse 2. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, notice, which ministered unto him of their substance. There were those that ministered unto Christ of their physical substance. Those who supported the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who gave of their food and their physical means. The eternal Son of God, the creator of the universe, depended on the physical and financial means of others. And again, could Jesus, the one who spoke everything into existence, ex nihilo, out of nothing, could Jesus have spoken the word and there were his faithful substances? Yes. But we see that this was not his ordained way. The Lord depended upon the support of others. And God expects his people to give toward the work of the gospel. We see that principle laid out here in Luke chapter 8. And one cannot honestly read the Bible without seeing that this principle is established. It is revealed in our opening text, Philippians chapter 4. And throughout the letters of Paul, it is noted in the ministry of Jesus. And as we saturate our hearts and minds with the entirety of Scripture, sanctified common sense, as I call it, sanctified common sense teaches us that the Great Commission involves our commitment to financially support those who are called and qualified. We have a part in the Great Commission. God has ordained His church or His churches to be the primary support of others going with the gospel. When we speak of our responsibility of shining the light of the gospel in the dark places around the world, we must remember that it is our responsibility to pay the light bill. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Yes, we say, amen. Let the gospel go forth. Let the light shine. But we have to remember somebody has to pay the light bill. Here we are enjoying our time together under the Word of God tonight, but somebody has to pay the physical light bills so we can read the Word of God. Somebody has to pay the means so that we have heating. And so it is when it comes to worldwide missions. So our first point tonight, you ought to give to missions because God has ordained that His people give to missionaries. Secondly, you ought to give to missions because missionaries need your financial support. The needs of missionaries are many. There are needs before going to the field, needs in transitioning to the field, needs in staying on the field, needs coming back and reporting after years of being on the field. There are missionaries preparing to go to the field at this very moment. God has called them, God has equipped them, and they are pursuing to go out of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they need many things. They need passports, they need plane tickets, they need luggage, there will be luggage fees, there will be medications that are needed, a down deposit on a home, health insurance, and the list goes on and on. When missionaries then arrive on the field, they need groceries, furniture, appliances for their home, money to pay utilities, money to purchase a vehicle or bus tickets. They will need a phone to communicate, perhaps schooling for their children, schooling or tutors to learn the language. And we expect the missionaries to write letters on a regular basis so they don't get in trouble, right? Well, that includes needing a computer with internet access. And that is only touching a brief part of their personal expense. And we haven't even touched on the ministry or the church needs. And regarding that, missionaries need money to rent a building. They need Bibles. They need gospel tracts. They need songbooks, signs for a church building, paper, pens, letters, curriculum for Bible studies, curriculum for children's ministry. And the list goes on and on and on. When missionaries return for a furlough, they need money for plane tickets, car to lease or borrow, gasoline, sometimes hotel expenses. We don't often think in such a way, but we ought to. It helps us remember how desperately dependent they are upon us. Now, somebody may disapprove of all such spending and ask, well, why don't missionaries become tent makers like the Apostle Paul, bless the Lord? Well, two main reasons. Number one, in most countries, it is very difficult to obtain employment if you are an immigrant. And more importantly, missionaries do not move across the world to work a secular job. They move because God has called them to give themselves wholly to the work of the Lord. If we study Paul's writings to Timothy, we see older, mature Paul telling younger Timothy, give yourself wholly to the work of the Lord. Give yourself to doctrine. Give yourself to preaching. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And then we look at the principle of Acts chapter 6, verse 4. And this reminds us, it reminds us that the primary responsibility of the minister of the gospel is to pray and to give himself to the ministry of the word. That's what we want of our missionaries. We want all of their strength to go into reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want them to be so busy and worn out that they give their leftovers to reaching others for Christ. We want their full strength to be given to sending the light of the gospel. So that's why many don't become tent makers like the Apostle Paul. So missionaries need our financial support. Let's carry on to our third point. You ought to give to missions because giving to missions fixes your heart on eternal matters. Giving to missions fixes your heart on eternal matters. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." One pastor that has helped me tremendously in the area of personal finances frequently reminds Christians that there is a direct attachment from your heart to your wallet. In other words, there's an invisible line that is attached from your heart to your pocketbook. In other words, what you spend your money on is what your heart will grow attached to. And what your heart is attached to, you will spend your money on. Let me give you some illustrations. Those who spend thousands of dollars every year on watching sports, going to sports games, purchasing sports gear, naturally are passionate about what? You guys are a bright crowd. Those who spend thousands of dollars on guns and ammunition and targets are naturally going to talk about guns and shooting. And those who spend a significant amount of money on clothes and crafts, I didn't leave you ladies out, you thought I did, are naturally going to be expressive about such things in their conversations. And naturally, in all these cases, the one spending a lot of money on sports, the one spending money on guns, the one spending money on clothing or crafts, naturally, these people are going to desire more. And whether consciously or unconsciously, they have trained their heart to follow their money. This is the biblical principle of Jesus. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus exhorts us by saying, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Now, how do we do that? Throw our wallet in the sky and hope it lands on a cloud? No, by investing in the work of the Lord. Giving to the Lord's work will train our hearts to follow our money. And our hearts are to be given to heavenly, spiritual, eternal matters. And therefore, our finances are to be given to heavenly, spiritual, eternal matters. Do you realize that you are where you are spiritually because others have sacrificed financially? Do we realize that? What do you mean? Well, maybe, did a church bus pick you up so you could come to church? Did somebody bring you to church? Well, there's gas money involved in that. Did somebody buy you a Bible? Did somebody leave a tract for you to read or invite you to church? Did you find a church in a phone book or on a website? Maybe there was a preacher. Maybe it was the preacher who was instrumental in seeing you come to Christ. Maybe that preacher preached a soul-stirring sermon. Well, that preacher was financially supported. Were there lights on in the building, that building that you came to faith in Christ? Was there air conditioning, heating going on? The building was purchased. All that to say, ministry costs money. And missions cost money. And those who know this truth know the spiritual blessings that are involved in giving to such an eternal cause. And in regard to fixing our hearts to eternal matters, make sure that you view your job in the proper reality. Don't miss this important point. What is my job? Why do I work? You ever consider, why do you work? Why do you go to work Monday through Friday? Merely to survive? because it's expected of us to work. No, don't view your job as merely a channel to survive. Don't view your job as a channel in becoming financially well off or a means of obtaining whatever your heart desires. View your job as a means of spreading the gospel. Are your jobs providing for you physically? Absolutely. Yes. But don't forget to gain a heavenly perspective. God has given you the ability to work. He gave you the job that you have. He gives you the paychecks that you receive so that you might be the means to see souls saved as you give to the ministry of this church and to worldwide missions. You see how much greater your job will be viewed in the right perspective if you view it that way? Well, I'm not just here because after high school, my parents told me I had to figure out and do something. As a Christian, we're working for the Lord. We're being a light to the lost around us in our job. And we are receiving money, yes, to take care of ourselves and our families, but we are also receiving money so that we can support the work of the Lord. Continuing down the same line of reasoning, we move on to our fourth point. You ought to give to missions because souls need to be saved. Romans chapter 10, 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? I would conclude our reading of the text by asking, how can they be sent unless God's people financially support them? Leonard Ravenhill rebuked American Christianity years ago by saying, quote, today's Christians spend more money on dog food than missions. Some 50 years ago, today's Christians spend more money on feeding their dog than they do in reaching others with the gospel worldwide. What a rebuke. And you may love animals. You may have a dog for a pet, and there's nothing biblically wrong with that, at least that I've found. But what Leonard Ravenhill was driving at was the sad reality that most Christians are more diligent in taking care of an animal who has no soul than we are in reaching individuals who are on their way to an eternal hell. We need to support missions because souls need to be saved. Point number five, we need to give to missions because God is glorified. Luke 15, 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Souls being saved brings God joy. The angels rejoice when prodigals come home, when they repent of their sin and hold fast to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation. God is glorified when lost sinners are born again, and God is glorified by our obedience. The Apostle Paul says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So when God wants us to obey his word in supporting the mission before us, he is glorified in it. Now, God is not only concerned that we give to missions, he is most certainly concerned about how we give to missions. So with that said, let me draw to a conclusion by giving you four exhortations about how we ought to give to the work of worldwide evangelization. Number one, remember when you give joyfully to missions. God loveth a cheerful giver. God does not want us to be half-hearted in our giving. God does not want us to give grudgingly. That is one of these. Well, the pastor expects me to give, and I guess I better give. He may find out. So here's a few dollars. No, God does not want us to give grudgingly or under compulsion. And we can pull out sappy story after sappy story. I can manipulate you left and right, but God does not want you to give. God wants you to give out of a heart that loves Him, out of a heart that desires to obey Him. God wants us to give genuinely and joyfully. And we need to remember that giving is a privilege. The one who gave everything for us, we have the opportunity to give such a small part back to Him. God so loved the world that He gave. God invites us to be a part of His mission. We ought not only to give joyfully, we need to give sacrificially. 2 Corinthians 9:6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." God wants us to give like the poor widow woman in Mark chapter 12 who gave when it cost her something to give. Now, for most people I know, the excuse, which is a lame excuse, "I can't give sacrificially to the work of the Lord," is, well, it weighs nothing, really. People say, "Well, I can't give extra." Can you sacrifice $5 coffees at Starbucks? Can you give up ice cream from time to time? Can you eat off the dollar menu at Del Taco rather than eating at the finer establishment down the road? Can you say no to those extra clothes you don't really need? Can you cut off cable television? And the answer to all these questions are yes, we can. The struggle lies in the question, do we really want to sacrifice for missions? It really, when we boil it down, is giving up Starbucks, ice cream, fine dining from time to time really a great sacrifice? A sacrifice that is on the same level that missionaries are giving? No. We are masters of being convenient and comfortable here in the United States. It's okay to say amen. Are we not? Are we not spoiled? Yes, we're blessed, but I think that's the right word. We're spoiled. We live like millionaires compared to the rest of the world. All of us. All of us. I'm looking at all of us. As far as everybody I know, we live like millionaires. So what's the sacrifice to support missions? So we go without our coffee for a day or two. We sacrifice here and there. Maybe give up a meal to fast and pray for a missionary and give those dollars to them. We can. We need to be sacrificial. And sometimes it requires us to be creative in our sacrificial giving. It has been recorded that Charles Spurgeon and his wife raised chickens in their English home and would sell the eggs, the chickens, late. The story goes that one day they were approached by a woman who wanted eggs. And seeking to save the money, the woman asked if the Spurgeons would give her eggs out of the goodness of their hearts rather than charging her for them. The Spurgeons refused, and the woman left irate. Soon, news spread around the town of the innocent, and many people criticized the preacher and his wife, calling them unkind, unchristian, ungiving, and unloving. It wasn't until after Mrs. Spurgeon died that the truth of the situation was revealed. The reasons the Spurgeons wouldn't give away the eggs was because they used the profits to support two widows in the town. They became creative. There are people in need. What can we do? Well, we can buy chickens and we can sell eggs. And perhaps God would impress the hearts of some to do something like Mr. and Mrs. Spurgeon did to support those who are going with the gospel. Maybe children, you can collect aluminum cans around the neighborhood. Give that money to missions. Maybe ladies, you are experts at making homemade crafts and you can sell them on all these websites and give to the missions. There's so many ways that we can be creative. So can we? Yes, we can. We need to be baptized with the spirit and resolve of David that says, 2 Samuel 24, "I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing." So give sacrificially to missions. Give joyfully to missions. Thirdly, give frequently to missions. When I became a Christian, I can remember going to church and hearing the one praying for the offering, exhorting the church by saying, "Church, we are now worshiping the Lord and receiving our tithes and our offerings." And I never forgot that. Worshiping? We're worshiping by giving? Yes. We've lost this truth today. Unfortunately, we've associated the word worship only with singing and praising the Lord in song or playing instruments. But worship is far more than music. Worship is ascribing worth to the Lord, praising Him, adoring Him. But worship is obeying Him out of a heart of sincerity, out of a heart of holiness. So giving is an act of worship. Give to the church's missions program and give frequently. Give when a missionary visits and gives a report. That's an encouragement to him. And give when God prosper you. Give frequently to missions. And then fourth, give faithfully to missions. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we say, well, I've been given for 20 years. Maybe I can take a break. Give faithfully. Well, I gave a lot last year. I'm going to take a break this year. Give faithfully. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Philippians chapter 4, the text we read. God will provide all your needs in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that is a missionary text? Paul was thanking the believers for supporting him, and Paul is exhorting them, God will provide all your needs because you have been faithful to give to me. And that's the principle of Proverbs 11:25. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. And if you give to the Lord, you know this truth practically. Now, missions giving is not a replacement of our weekly tithes and offerings to the ministry of the local church. It's in addition to it. Missions gives complement to the tithe. So we give faithfully to the work of the Lord. And we give because the Lord is worthy and His work is worthy. God has faithfully given and faithfully given to us. Can we not faithfully give to the advancement of His kingdom? Parents, teach your children to give to missions. Teach them by your lips. Teach them how important it is to give to those who are leaving family and friends, the comforts of home, the conveniences of living in the United States to spread the gospel. And parents, you know that often there are missionary families with young ones, and your young ones need to see those young ones, and you need to explain to them what they're doing. They're going with mom and dad out of obedience, and God is going to use them. Let your children's heart be stirred by that. Encourage them to put aside part of what they receive or earn so that they can give to God's great work. Teach them by your lips, but teach them by your life. Parents, don't only tell your children about the importance of giving. Show them. This is vital. And I can speak by experience. Now, my father doesn't know this, but when I was transitioning from high school to college, there was a year where I lived with him in his home, going to community college, serving the Lord faithfully in the local church. And there were times where he would do his financial work at the dinner table and forget to put the papers away. And there were times that I would walk by and just take a glance at what he was doing, what these papers were all about. And there were times that I could see his personal involvement through the church. And I can tell you, he was very gracious and very sacrificial. That caused me to think. My dad not only says he loves the Lord, he shows it. My dad not only says he wants to see souls saved, he shows it. He never once said, "Here, look at my checkbook. Look how much I sacrifice." Never once did he do that. In fact, I don't ever remember him lecturing me on finances at all. But I could tell when the offering plate went by, he was faithful to give. I didn't know what he gave, but he was giving. And there, glancing at the table, I could tell he was very sacrificial. And that did great things in my heart. So in conclusion, Let me give you this. Before leaving for India, missionary William Carey famously told his close friend, Andrew Fuller, quote, "I will go down into the pit if you will hold the ropes," signifying that Carey would go so long as Fuller would help him obtain the finances that were needed for Carey to go. One author archives that Fuller held the ropes by serving as president of the Baptist Mission Society from its founding until his death in 1814. Fuller traveled all over the British Isles, raising funds and preaching missions-related sermons. The missionaries in India and others in other early fields could concentrate on their ministry in the field because they knew that Fuller was advocating back home for them. So Carey's going out, holding the rope on one end, so to speak, going down into the pit, and he is expecting Fuller, his friends, and the people back home to hold the other end of the rope, and both are in this work together. The Bible says we are co-laborers with God. So my question for you as we depart tonight is twofold. Are you doing your part in holding the ropes for those who have gone down into the pit? If so, your hands should be calloused. Where are the evidences that you are sacrificing so that others may go? Let's pray. Our Lord, we come before you. As we look to your word, we see, Father, that the area of finances are an area that are important to you. And they are an area that ought to be important to us. Lord, we are not to be lazy about sacrificing to the work of the Lord. There is a great work to do. There's great toil, great sacrifice. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of this. As we are only 2 days into 2019, Lord, help us to be intentional about our giving to the Lord through this local church and to worldwide missions. Help us to be purposeful in praying for our missionaries and encouraging them. Oh, how they need our support. Help us to be selfless, oh Lord, as we move forward, holding the ropes for others who have gone. And Lord, help us to remember that we give because you have given. You sent your Son into this world so that we might know eternal salvation. Jesus Christ laid down his life. He gave his life. No man took it from him. He gave his life. He gave his all. He shed his blood, so that we might know eternal hope. So, Lord, it is only our reasonable service to give back to the Lord Jesus Christ so that those who are not in this fold will come home and join us in this fold, in the great fold of praising your name as one voice. Oh, Lord, we pray that we would remember our responsibility and that you would give us your grace to carry it forth in the days to come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.